If you hear this music, you know what time it is. Our next guest traded in his sweaty athleisure attire today for some chilly, windy rainbreakers.
He went viral today, Chris.
Yeah.
Joe Patrick went viral today, not causing trouble. Not for causing trouble, but went viral for some funny reasons.
Yeah. And we'll get to that as well. Joe Patrick on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, hope you are dried off. It's always an adventure at camp, whether it's 95 degrees and you're melting and the sweat's coming off your elbows and forearms, or it is like today where you are just being constantly rained on for 2.5-3 hours as practice gets underway and they didn't want to move it inside, but we persist.
Yeah. I this is the first I can really ever remember this kind of weather happening in August. Like, it was crazy. It was one of those, one of those days where I got home, I took off the wet socks, you know, that great feeling when that happens, and took a very hot shower, just kind of stood in there for a while to, bring my body back up to temp. But it was a
and you contemplated life while you did it, right? You contemplated, it was one of those scenes in the shower where you're just, your head is underneath the faucet and you're just contemplating life.
Yes, and there's something about training camp weather that's going to make you contemplate life regardless, whether whatever end of the spectrum you're on, if it's 60 degrees and rainy and windy, or if it's, 100 degrees blazing, you're always questioning life's choices. But it was a fun one to be at today.
Speaking of questioning choices, wow, what a perfect segue, Joe Patrick. Raheem Morris deciding once again the best route for the Atlanta Falcons is neither of their two important quarterbacks to see any time. What do you make of his decision?
I'm not surprised. I thought that he telegraphed this when he was first asked about what his kind of plan for preseason games was going to be. I believe it was in maybe like the first of the press availability that he had before the first practice of training camp, where he basically said the philosophy has not changed. And as soon as he said that, I thought to myself, well, we're not going to see the quarterbacks play. I was going to say the two starting quarterbacks, it's really obviously, Penix and Cousins. Probably not the starting offensive line. Basically all the starters, I think, are essentially going to sit. And I think it's probably one of the reasons why we've seen the team be kind of active and adjusting their roster over these last several days in kind of acquiring some players and some positions to make sure that they basically have enough bodies to go out there and last through the game, which, again, I expect to be kind of uneventful with a bunch of like running plays, run out the clock type of situation. But I'm not surprised. And, I would say also on this situation, I've seen a lot of people say, well, if Penix isn't going to play, Kirk has to play in preseason. And it's almost, to me, it comes across like, I read it like it's almost like vengeful or something. Like people are like angry and he needs to play because he deserves it, or it's like because that's what backup quarterbacks do, et cetera, et cetera. The bottom line is he's not going to play for the same reason that Michael Penix isn't going to play, which is that he's a valued commodity and they are just not going to risk putting him in a situation again where he could be, behind backup linemen and anything could happen at that point, because Kirk Cousins is still a player that offers value to the Falcons as it is right now, but also potentially to another team if something were to happen and the Falcons could really make use of him.
Seems like any concern about Jalen Walker's been nipped in the bud.
Yeah. And this was one for me. I mean, I kind of varied person to person based on who you talked to, how concerned they were. I was never really too concerned about this one. And he was back involved in some team drills. He spoke to the media today. Sounds like everything went well on that front. And it's kind of funny that we actually just haven't really gotten to see a whole lot of him. And yet, having said that, I think Falcons fans are quite excited about this edge room already, just because of what James Pierce Jr. is doing. So if you can add, whatever you think you're going to get from the 15th overall pick and Jalen Walker at that position as well, who knows? There really is no ceiling for this edge room right now. Obviously, there's going to be some, you got to understand there's going to be some limitations with these guys as rookies, but, they both have tons of potential. And I'm not just talking about this season, but just going forward, and that's really exciting.
How has the aforementioned James Pierce Jr. and the physicality manifested itself since the day of the initial skirmish? Has it still been physical? Has it been toned down? What's the vibe?
Yeah, well, there was another skirmish today, and once again, I did not see this one. I had actually stepped away. It happened during the developmental portion of practice, kind of towards the end. And it's funny that it popped off because I had just noticed. I kind of like made a note in my notebook that while the team was doing their 11-on-11 scrimmaging, Raheem Morris was kind of like up talking to James Pierce between plays in the huddle. And, you know, I couldn't really see James Pierce because his back was to me, and he's obviously got like a helmet on and everything, but I could see like Raheem Morris was smiling. And then, yeah, you could tell like James Pierce Jr. said something to him, and that made Raheem laugh and stuff like that. So it was kind of, you know, all jovial and stuff. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, he's grabbing with a teammate again. And this one from you know, all reports, and I'll credit Maria Martin, who I was retweeting from the situation. Coach Morris not very pleased, it sounds like, with this one. He was kind of up giving JPJ the business for this one. So, you know, it's just going to be one of those things where, you know, they got to kind of, I don't know if monitor the situation is the right word, but I don't know. I think maybe Friday will be good to have him go hit somebody else from another team, maybe get some of that out of him.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like he's not backing down on his end of the bargain about going hard on every single play of every single practice. Yeah, Caleb McGarry obviously gets the extension today. Any surprise, or is this something that you foresaw happening regardless of what happens this season, where he's going to get the full 17 games to see how he can, I know they're not calling it this, Joe, but protect Michael Penix's blindside.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think we should be kind of honest with ourselves and saying, like, that is what it is. But, you know, the Falcons are obviously going to kind of have their own, I don't want to say spin. I think it is kind of genuine with the way that they kind of phrase it, but ultimately, like, it is every quarterback has a blind side, and yes, it is his blind side. You know, I think I'm not surprised that they got the extension done. I kind of thought that this might be one that they announced, you know, like the day before training camp starts or something, because you like to have, you know, it seems like teams like to have some positive news to announce on those types of fronts around that time. Took a little bit longer, but I think mainly that what I'm surprised about with regards to the contract is just the great terms for the Falcons. I mean, you know, it's a cheap deal at $15 million average annual value, and they're not tied down to him super long term. I think if you could have told me, if you would have asked me, like, kind of what the ideal terms were, it probably was a 2-year extension. You know, obviously the least amount of money you can afford, and at $15 million per year, that's great value for a starting offensive tackle. And an offensive tackle that, yes, while he does clearly struggle against speed rushers, he at least has a clear strength to his game. And that's like for players that have these obvious weaknesses, you need to have obvious strengths as well to kind of balance it out and make yourself a worthwhile member of the squad. I used to kind of talk about Nate Landman like this, because while he obviously struggled in coverage as a linebacker for this team and for a couple of years, he obviously had this great strength as being a big time run stuffer. And so with Caleb McGarry, you get a run blocker that perfectly fits what Dwayne Ledford in this running game wants to do. And you know, I don't think he's like necessarily a bad pass blocker overall. I just think he's like kind of average, and the reason he's average is because he in particular has struggles against certain prototypes of players. And hey, maybe having James Pierce Jr. in the fold against him in practice will help him develop and to be able to regularly see those types of rushers of which he struggles against.
Any update on Mooney?
The only update on Mooney is that there's no update on Mooney. They said, you know, they're kind of sticking to the couple weeks at this point. So I'm thinking that, you know, we got this week the preseason game against the Lions on Friday, and then we've got joint practices against the Titans next week, followed by that preseason game. And then I think so that following Monday, I believe, is the target of what I'm looking at for when we will hear about what is the next stage of the injury evaluation for him. At first, you know, like what we were first communicated was like the injury itself was just, he was going to be out for a few weeks. And then that terminology was kind of tweaked by Raheem Morris when he actually got to speak to him about it for the first time, where he said that it was going to be a few weeks and then we'll kind of see where we're at and go forward from there. So that Monday, so not next Monday, but the following is the date that I'm kind of pinpointing as when we might hear more about Mooney. But we, you know, hey, with him, you know, not obviously at practice, it's given some other opportunities to some other receivers. I got to say, David Sills is a guy who continues to step up and make plays. It hasn't really been for the first team. It's been a lot with Kirk Cousins, but the guy is really impressed. He's a former quarterback who played at West Virginia, then kind of went to a junior college and did a position switch to receiver. He's kind of bounced around some NFL teams on their practice squads the last several years as he tries to get his career going. And then also like guys like Chris Blair, some other players have gotten some valuable reps with Mooney out of the fold right now.
Another guy that could get in the fold is Casey Washington. He was on the radio station today. How has he looked?
Yeah, he's another one.
Is he looking?
Yeah, he's actually another one. There was another name that was escaping me from who got a shout out from Michael Penix about, you know, who was stepping up with Mooney out, and it was Casey Washington, actually. So I'm glad that you brought him up, and it makes sense that it would be Casey Washington because he would have a rapport with Michael Penix from having both been on scout team last year, and those guys throwing to each other. And you know, when Michael Penix was called up for his first start against the Giants last year, the team activated receivers like Chris Blair to play in that game because they have a rapport with one another, where he had not thrown to any of the starting receivers before that Wednesday practice of that game week. So, you know, it's good for Casey that he's got, you know, that rapport with his quarterback, but frankly, like, he's still been doing a lot of work with the twos, although I would say he got more work with the ones today, and he's a raw player. Like, and I think that was understood when they drafted him out of Illinois. Just didn't have a ton of, you know, playing time, and especially like NFL level competition playing time in terms of the scheme and the quarterbacks who were throwing him the balls and was kind of asked of him there. But I would say that he's really, you know, showing the athletic gifts that he has. I mean, he's got great speed. He lays out for balls. He's got really good hand eye. You can see him, if he's not actually coming down with diving catches, you know, he's got his hands on the ball and he's coming really close if he's not coming down with them. So that's great to see. And then I should also mention, Chris, you know, we can't go a segment without a little bit of Kyle Pitts talk. And he had a nice catch in the corner of the end zone today. But I think what's kind of getting overlooked with this, and I don't know if you've actually seen the video of it, but you know, it was a nice throw by Michael Penix to that back corner. And it's actually the throw that I'm more like, that's like a good indicator. It's not so much that Kyle Pitts is the one that comes down with that ball, but I think that with Michael Penix, if you want this offense to be effective in the red zone, which is where you end up scoring your points, Penix is going to need to have the touch on those types of throws in particular. And it's a throw that he's struggled with. It's, even when we saw him last year, for as great as he was in those three games that we saw him, you saw him, you know, lack some of that touch, especially in the red zone towards those corners, especially in that game against Washington. So it was great to see Michael Penix and Kyle Pitts connect in that fashion.
So now that you're a social media star with a video that's getting hundreds of thousands of views, Do you feel any type of way that it's a video of the head coach of the team getting schooled? And if anybody missed it, Raheem Morris tried to relive his old DB days against Drake London and didn't go well, and he wound up on his tuchus.
Yeah. You know, you got to be wiser than that, I feel like. You got to have, you know, someone like Raheem Morris has been around the game so long. You don't walk out on some slick grass when it's rainy in your Jordans and think you can just, you know, get in press coverage against one of the best press cover beaters in the NFL and Drake London. And so, yeah, learning experience maybe there for Raheem Morris. As for me, you know, I'll remember, you know, those who I worked with previously in my career. You know, it was great to be with all of you, but obviously there's, you know, bigger and better things for me now that I'm able to produce this high quality video for the NFL, which they got to disseminate around.
Well, I'll tell you this, Joe, from the little video editing experience I have, I'm not sure that's a career path you want to go down, because you will be, you'll become that like coffee meme where it's spilling out of the coffee because your hand's shaking so much because you're on your 15th hour of video editing for a 2-minute video.
Nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe reporting is the path after all. Appreciate it, my friend. Yeah. We'll talk later in the week.
All right, thanks for having me on, Chris. Appreciate it.
That is Joe Patrick there. Again, go to @JAPatrick200 if you want to see the video of Raheem Morris absolutely getting schooled by Drake London. I don't know what made him think that that was a good idea. I don't know. Maybe Coach was just feeling himself today. Who knows? All right, I know what is a good idea. Continuing the Falcons conversation with our main man, Producer O. As we get back, we'll have five Falcons true and false questions as we get ever closer to week one in the NFL. First preseason game is Friday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. An hour in the books, three to play. It is a busy, busy Monday. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you till 10.